Anyway, I came across this with the top 10 reasons that God created Eve. Let me see what you think about these. Number 10, God worried that Adam would always be lost in the garden because men hate to ask for directions. God knew that Adam would one day need someone to hand him the TV remote. Men don't want to see what's on television. They just want to see what else is on. God knew that Adam would never buy a new fig leaf when his seat wore out and would therefore need Eve to get one for it. God knew that Adam would never make a doctor's appointment for himself. God knew that Adam would never remember which night was garbage night. God knew that if the world was to be populated, men would never be able to handle childbearing. As keeper of the garden, Adam would never remember where he put his tools. The scripture account of creation indicates Adam needed someone to blame his troubles on when God caught him hiding in the garden. Number 2, as the Bible says, it is not good for man to be alone. And then number 1, when God finished the creation of Adam, he stepped back, scratched his head, and said, I can do better than that. Now, we're not going to be bashing husbands because we all love our husbands, we love our men, but that's a cute little thing. So just kind of a funny things we've always told about Adam and Eve and all that. But Eve is the only being ever directly created by God from the living tissue of another creature. Adam came from dirt, and Eve came from a handful of Adam. In her original state, undefiled by any evil, unblemished by any disease, she was flawless. She was the grace, charm, virtuous, intelligent, dignified, pure, innocent creation. And while Scripture doesn't describe her beauty, it does define her duty. You and I were carefully designed and created by God. Adam had no input. God, in his perfect wisdom, decided what was best for Adam. So it was you. And so it was me. To understand the creation of Eve, it's imperative to understand the creation of Adam and kind of where the Garden of Eden would have been. Have you all kind of heard the story where it might probably was? Maybe in Iraq, around the Mesopotamian Valley, around the Tigris and Euphrates River is kind of where it's thought it might have been. The location Eden means well watered. In Genesis 1:26, God reveals to us his desire to create a human on day 6. This was a joint effort because it said, let us in our image, in our likeness. Never said words like this about any other creation, but just man. Hence, that which sets us apart is that while animals have consciousness, we have self-consciousness. We are aware of our existence, we have personality, we have rationality, we have creativity, and we have the desire to have relationships. So we see how being made in his image shows that God desires relationships with us to enjoy. The creation of man was into a perfect environment. No weeds, no crops, no need to till the soil. If you look at chapter 2 of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, starting in verse 4 of chapter 2. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. So when we think of rain, which we are desperately praying for, we're looking up here. Then the water was coming from underneath. I just think that's kind of neat because we just don't think like that. So God placed Adam here in the Garden of Eden. In verses 15 and 16, we learn of Adam's vocation. He was to cultivate. He was to keep the garden. He was to oversee it. He was to provide stewardship and guardianship over it. In verse 17, though, we learn of a prohibition. Stay away from the tree in the middle of the garden. Ladies, they had one rule. That's it. One. Think about that later. So in one day, we see the creation of man. We see his location, his vocation, and his probation. Human dust lives only because of God's breath. His intention, his purpose for humans was life, not death. The freedom we have allows us to choose, and to choose sin, and to choose death. Those are the choices. But one thing still was not created, and the relation of man with his own kind. He had a relationship with the Father, but none with his same making to share his ideas and his emotions and his soul and the heart and depth of his own personhood. He didn't have anything like that. Everything up to this point that God had created was very good. And we can read that in Scripture. It was very good. But in verse 18 of chapter 2, God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." I don't like this idea of man being alone. This isn't good. So, on day 6, God decides to complete the creation. God decides to put the icing on. There have been male and female of other creatures, but this creation of man still needed the complement to make the work whole. Let's go to chapter 2 and read verses 21 through 22 as we see God, the divine surgeon. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. God used bone and flesh to create the most beautiful of all creatures. And she too was created in his image that you see in chapter 1, verse 27. So we were fashioned or built with all the self-consciousness, all the cognition, all the spirituality, all the personality, all the relationship and emotion and creativity of the male creation. We were created in the same kind of way. Now you'll notice in verse 22 that he said he brought her to the man. God brought her to the man. That presentation. Did he carry her over there? Did he walk with her over there? Did he place her next to Adam? I don't know, but he presented her. You know, Adam must have seen the creation of the earth and the male and female and knew they were together, but he never asked for a female. He hadn't asked for that. God decided that. I was preparing this lesson for another series somewhere, and then when we were coming here, and I wanted to talk about Eve again and apply more of the topic called Walking Alone with Eve, but there's something I wanted to share with you about Eve, because I think she's just a fascinating character. And in preparation for that, initially, I found this book called Hava. It's a novel, it's a fiction, and Hava is the Hebrew word for Eve. And this gal, she's very imaginative, but sometimes it's a little fun to kind of think that way, not taking anything out of context or something that we shouldn't be doing, but I just like the way she kind of thought about how it might have been the first time the two of them saw each other. You know, what was it like for Eve to see Adam? Did she wonder, who am I?
why am I here?
And what do I do with this thing called that? Kind of fascinating. Okay, the Hebrew for male is Ish, and the Hebrew for female is Isha. So this was the names initially that they had. It wasn't Eve. You'll find out later when she became Eve. So I want just to share a little bit, just a little bit of something that this gal talked about, how this would have been for Eve. You want to close your eyes and pretend you're in the garden somewhere where it's really plush green. I know it would not be around here anywhere, but think of somebody, someplace plush. Here we go. A whisper in my ear. Wake. Light illuminated the thin tissues of my eyelids. A bird trilled near my ear, percussive buzz of an insect. Overhead, tree boughs stirred in the warming air. I sighed as one returning to sleep, to retreat to the place I had been before, the realm of silence and bliss, wherever that is. Wake. I opened my eyes again upon the milling blue, saw it spliced by the flight of a bird, chevron in the sky. This time the voice came not to my ear, but directly to my stirring mind. Wake. I knew nothing of where or what I was, but I woke. I knew I was alive. A rustle, a groan, practically in my ear. I twitched at a stirring against my hip. A moment later, a touch drifted across a belly I did not yet know I owned, soft as a leaf skittering along the ground. A face obscured my vision. I screamed, not with fear. I was no acquaintance of fear, nor was startlement, because I had been aware of the presence already, but because it was the only statement that came to lips as artless as mine. The face disappeared and returned, blinking into my own, the blue above captured in twin pools. Then, like a gush of water from a rock, gladness thrilled my heart, but its source was not me. At last, it came unspoken, a different source than the voice before. The words thrust jubilantly to the sky. At last! He was up on legs like the trunks of sturdy saplings, beating at the earth with his feet. He thumped his chest and shouted to the sun and clapped his hands. At last, he cried, his laughter like warm clay between the toes. He shook his shoulders and stomped the grass and slapping his chest as he shouted again and again. Though I did not understand the utterance, I knew its meaning at once. Joy and exultation at something longed for suddenly found. I tried to mimic his sound. It came out as a squawk and then a panting laugh. Overhead, a lark chattered an extravagant address. I squealed a shrill reply. The face lowered to mine and the man's arms wrapped wound tight. Aren't you going like, whoa? Is that not like romance? You know, we go through the story of Adam and Eve, and we're just like, yeah, hello, I'm Adam, I'm Eve, okay, let's go together, and here's the garden, you do this. I mean, you think it was like that? I don't know that it was exactly like that in our reading, but I cannot imagine the joy that Adam had as he found someone to meet all the needs that he had. Can you imagine the overwhelming feeling of it all? The exploring of one another must have been ecstasy. Each being the fulfillment of the other. Their nakedness was uninhibited. Their desires were uninhibited. Their unity knew no boundaries. It was instant admiration, instant embrace, and instant adoration. The way it's supposed to be. God in his perfect wisdom created what was best for Adam, and Eve became his companion, his joy, his gladness, and his ability to procreate. Our creation, being taken from man, shows fundamental equality. We are not a different kind of creature. We are a spiritual counterpart, an intellectual co-equal, a perfect match and companion. God's design, as noted in Scripture, is that we are a suitable helper, chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Remember that relationship is in the image of God. So that we're the suitable helper, according to chapter 2, verse 20. And we are like God in his image. And we were made according to the needs of this man. While Adam was given the role to be guardian over the garden and animals, Eve had a role to help him do what was asked of him. And my question to all of us, as women being married or as women in our roles that we are to have, are we doing that in our marriages or in the churches? Are we helping the man to do what's being asked of him? Or are we making it difficult? Are we making it difficult for him to be head of the home or not? Eve's creation shows the idea of the essential unity of marriage. The true origin of one flesh begins here. Eve's creation illustrates how deep and meaningful marriage is designed to be, not just physical, but in union of heart and soul. And Eve's creation has lessons about the divinely designed role of women. Adam was first. Eve was second. Adam is the provider. Eve is the helper. Adam is the protector, the leader. Eve is the nurturer and the comforter. Adam is the father. Eve is the mother. Eve's creation is the creation of womanhood. It's the creation of marriage. It's the creation of homemaker. It's the creation of motherhood. Male headship was designed in creation. Let me say that again. Male headship was designed in creation. This is God's blueprint. And if we could embrace that, women would be happier, churches would be healthier, and marriages would be stronger. Headship is not just about a woman being in submission. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see the hierarchy design. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3. It says, now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is a man. And the head of Christ is God. There's a hierarchy. There's a design. And that's how God wants it to be. That's his blueprint. So what happened? Something crafty came along. But he didn't come along until Adam got married. Hate to say it. Satan targeted Eve. He got to her. He knew where her ego needed stroking. You know, Eve must have been shown the garden. She must have known the animals. She must have known how to find her place. She must have known her role in life. But the serpent approached her in chapter 3 of Genesis in verse 1. And you know what? There was no introduction. Hi, I'm Satan. I mean, did you hear that? No. There was no one frightened. She didn't run away. It's made me wonder, have they talked before? I don't know how all that is. Because if you, in knowing the rest of the story, as I know you do, you find out that after the sin comes along, it's when the serpent becomes on the ground. So how this happened, what this looked like, I don't know. But they talked. They had conversation. Satan is so subtle. I know he's been with me, and I'm sure he's been with you. Take heed lest you fall. We may initially flee from him, because you know when you see evil, and you know that's evil, it's black and white evil, you get away. But is that how a lot of times sin gets into our life? No. It finds our weak spot. It finds us when we are least expecting it. And that's when it comes, usually slowly. He knows our weakness. And then we begin to acknowledge him. And then we begin to have conversation with him. Don't even realize we're doing it. Eve knew her boundaries. Eve knew the standard. Eve knew God. Eve knew there were commands. And Eve knew she had choices. She knew what she could do. She knew what she couldn't do. Very specific. The command was not to eat. And you know what? She even told the serpent that. I'm not even supposed to touch it. What are you talking about? I know that. I'm not supposed to touch it. God had decided what was best for Adam and Eve. But God also made Adam and Eve to be free. And with freedom, they're carrying a lot of responsibilities and a lot of privileges, as we all will know. And those of you who've gone through those teenage years and you've got the driver license thing, we just went through that with our son Luke. A year ago, when he went to get his permit, the guy at the driving station, he looked at him and he said, "Young man, your mother can take this away. Your mother can take it all away from you because I'm giving her permission to do that. And you won't be able to drive anymore because driving, there's a lot of responsibility. I look for it." Yes, sir. And I'm like, so a year later, he has his license. So far, so good. But freedom comes, that's freedom. And that's what God gave Adam and Eve. That's what he gives us. But Satan, oh, he's so good at this. He sprinkled the truth with error. He's a master of that. Go to Genesis 3, and we'll continue in verses 4 through 5. Let's look at chapter 3, verses 4. Well, I'll tell you what, let's start at verse 1. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God said you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Wow. Feeling, huh? This death would be spiritual death. Eve knew nothing about evil. Her world was perfect. But Satan threw in the word evil. What did Satan say that changed her mind? How did he say it to her? What was the situation like? What changed her mind? He appealed to her weakness. You know what her weakness was? You ever thought about that? The need to know. Her desire for knowledge. She had to be on the scoop. She didn't have a coveting issue, did she? With the neighbor's things? I'm loving that garden over there. Adam, could we like maybe get that one? She's not doing that. She have eyes for another man?
Nope.
She's not lying. You haven't heard anything about her lying. She wasn't satisfied. She wasn't content with what she didn't know. Ladies, are we like that? Guilty. The need to know. We've got to be in the know. We've got to be in the know now. We're not satisfied so many times with things we've been given. We don't get satisfied with this word because it's not exciting. We are satisfied with our bodies and the way they were made. We don't realize how blessed and beautiful we all are because the King has made us. And we get all upset about how we look. We get upset and not content with our homes. We don't have enough. We're not content with our husbands. We're not content with our parents. You ever read again and again Exodus 20:12? Honor your father and mother. It didn't just say honor your father and mother, go on to the next one. There's a promise of that one. So you'll live long on the earth. get disgusted with our children. We wish they'd grow up. We get tired of our jobs. Better be glad you have one. And we'll really get distressed with the church family. Discontent. Unhappy. Want to know more. We fall for Satan's crafty disguise of discontent all the time. I know I have. With discontent, the blessings all seem blurry. And the covenant somehow has cracks. When Eve was tempted, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life just took over. Satan fulfilled her ego so he could take control of her. And in one moment, the world of evil was set in motion. The animal kingdom would now live in a decaying and dying world. Disease, destruction, and disaster, and various other hardships were now in play. In one moment. Genesis 3, verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from God among the trees of the garden. In one moment, Adam and Eve's eyes were open to sin. They felt shame. They closed themselves with fig leaves. And they heard God walking in the garden. Ladies, what was that like? To hear God walking in the garden? How'd they know? They knew, didn't they? They knew it was him. They heard him. In the cool of the day. Did they want to see him? Nothing like this had ever happened before. Because there was no reason to disappoint God or to do something he said not to. And God talked to them, and he knew by their behavior that they had disobeyed. And just as we are disappointed in our children when they disobey, God too became disheartened. He had to hold them responsible and accountable and invoke punishment. And back on my little soapbox again, we're losing that. With our kids, keeping them responsible, holding them accountable, invoking punishment. Your manual for parenting is right here. Your manual for discipline is right here. It started right here at the beginning. When they disobeyed, God had to do something about it. What gets me right here, when I think this was probably Eve's loneliest moment, is when God directly looked at her and said, "What is this that you have done?" You ever had that moment? Very lonely. When you've done something and you knew in one moment that was a mistake. And you knew it was your mistake, and you had to take ownership of it. It's very lonely. She told the truth. But the beauty of this is, and this is what we have to remember, in those one moment times that seem very lonely, when we know we've messed up, we got to remember this. God's love for these two people. They were removed from the garden where Adam was initially placed by God. And the only thing he could take out of that garden was her. I cannot even imagine what it would have been like to have to walk out of it. Walk away from that home. There's just the two of them. And you can't go back in. But Adam retained headship. He continued to be the provider. And he knows now that it would be done by hard work and sweat. Eve now has become the mother of all living. And this was when she was named Eve, after the sin. Eve is also known as Hava in Hebrew. Now we know her as Eve. We know that she knew that her offspring would crush the head of the serpent. And she would have children. And through that, through her, at some point, the serpent would be destroyed. The serpent, the one who was crafty and tempted her to the point that she had to be removed out of that garden. And what happened then? One of her children kills the other? Lonely moment? Ladies, I don't know how that would feel to be at night, at the end of the day, by yourself. And you know that it's you with your initial decision that got you where you were, got you where you are. Then you've got kids. And then one kills the other. Lonely? Yeah, very lonely. Don't you think she longed for the garden? Don't you think that every time she had a child, she wondered, is this the one? Is this the one who's going to destroy the head of the serpent so I can go back to the garden? Is this the one? She wondered that. Loneliness. Loneliness in the wait. Loneliness in the wait and the wonder. Is this the child? I'll have to tell you, I've always been an E-fasher. Any of you ever been like that? Boy, I tell you what, when I get there, oh, I've had these terrible cramps, childbearing, it was terrible. When I get to heaven, I'm going to look her up. Show me where Eve is. I have to talk with her. Never done that? I'll tell you what I think. I think if we found Eve in heaven, I think we'd go up to her. Tap her. Tell her how we feel. And I think she would turn around. And you know what I think she'd say? Why did you not learn to love your Adam as I did? Why have you lost your shame in how you present yourself to others? Why did you doubt our God on the mountain when He carried you through the valley? You know it, Jesus. You know Jesus. You know He's the one who crushed the head of the serpent. And yet you don't tell others about it? Oh, how I long to see that day. And why do you say, Lord, Lord, but you keep ignoring the commands of our Father? You see, I am Eve. You are Eve. We are daughters of God. Yet we're subject to temptation, just like she. And so my hope is that in heaven, I'll see Eve. And I'll embrace her. And I'll tell her everything turned out all right. And then together, arm in arm, we'll go together and approach the Father.